question for the audience. I'm a nurse, of course, but I'm not a techie. How many of you are proficient enough in Word and have done text boxes? Can you raise your hand? Good. You could do this. I have a sample form that I distributed, and if you do need more, I think there's an... raise your hand and she'll be able to give you one. Now, how do I progress this one? There? Right here? All right. I'm going to give you a couple of definitions. OCR, optical character recognition. And this is referring to the electronic translation of images like handwriting, typewritten, or printed text. Scantron divides this into another category. They use ICR for handwritten and OCR for machine print. OMR, which is what we're going to talk about today, it's optical mark recognition. And it's the process of capturing data scanned by contrasting reflectivity at predetermined positions on a page. We've all used bubble forms, and that's the complicated definition for a bubble form. On the left is the traditional bubble form, and on the right is a barcode, which is also considered an OMR form. Limitations of both. OCR, 80 to 90% accuracy. They're always improving this technology, and of course it always depends on how sophisticated a software and scanner you want to invest in. You can get a higher accuracy rate. The dollar signs, when I priced the system out for a low-end system, was about $6,000 for the software and the scanner. Optical mark. Accuracy is approaching 100% and may double scan forms. This is one of the drawbacks. You may double scan the forms or miss the forms unless safeguards are in effect. And with the scanner and the software, it was about $2,000. Anytime you want to analyze large amounts of data, this is something you might want to consider. I want to say, you know, we're a small county. We have 255,000 people in our county. And I know there's a lot of larger counties and cities and places like that that already use this type of technology. Schools, of course, they use it for grading, admissions, private sectors for surveys, very, very common. Healthcare sector is using it more for patient histories and things like that. Some of these diagrams are from vendors. And as you can see on the left is a picture of a pandemic flu exercise where they're filling out forms. They're being scanned, and then the computer produces the image on the right. Why do we want to look at this? Well, we thought it might help us reduce time to process patients, or process the forms, rather. You do not need skilled data entry staff. Our sister county did a pod. And they had 1,080 people come through their pod. They were doing the collecting data for the test on the CRA for the CDC, and they input 5 to 6 fields, and it took 20 hours of expert data entry staff to key in the data. That's only for 1,000 forms. We also did a flu pod, and we had about 1,000 forms. And we had 19 fields of information. The non-expert, me, on a simple scanner, took 3 hours to scan all the data. And this is also assuming that the forms have been, when they're collected at the end of the through pod, they're all in the same direction, and there's no paper clips or post-its on it and things like that. It takes about 2 seconds to scan a two-sided form, and the scanner that we used was a double-sided scanner. Without automation, every key field, you know, when you key in all the fields, it takes 2 to 3 minutes to process, and with automation, from touch to review, it's 6 seconds. Reports can be readily available, a scanning done at the pod, which, because this technology is very portable, as long as you have a PC and a scanner and electricity, you can do it at the pod, at the end of the pod run. Then you can gather all the data and report it to JDoc if you have multiple pods going. Decreased storage space of forms. The technology, or the vendor that I used, actually takes a picture of each form. So even though I wasn't gathering data off of a lot of the form, I had a picture of the form, which provided me with consent signatures. And so essentially, I could toss all the hard copies because I have it all stored. OMR gives the ability to locate and review a person's information in minutes via downloads to Excel. It's known for having increased accuracy, but I want to caution you that this depends on the form design, the training of the screeners, the nurses, and the post reviewers. Data review, or data clean, can take up to 30 minutes per 2,200 forms if the form is complicated. Pre and post review is not thorough. Some are using Scantron technology. I know Emergency Response in San Diego has a system. Some are using a combination form, which requires data keyed in by experts and some data scanned, which may be an option for more complex forms with a combination of urgent versus optional information. You can scan in the vaccine dose count and later key in the name and the address if you want to do something like that. Planning considerations. Specific to short scheduled mass IZs. Now, my goal was to look at what happens if you had to develop a mass IZ clinic and you didn't have 2 months or 6 months to plan, you didn't know what was coming on down the pike. So you'd have to actually have the ability, your technology, to do in-house form design. To add vaccine lot numbers at the last minute, change data fields, etc. Software for this is affordable. We needed thousands of forms to be printed on at least 24-pound paper, not copied. The sample that you have is an example of a 24-pound piece of paper. Our county general services can print thousands in the same day if needed. 24-pound paper is something they typically keep in stock. And they were really happy to be part of this whole drill scenario. I called them up and I said, if I gave you a form, you know, could you stop everything and print up this form? And they said, yeah, we'll do it. So we're real helpful. Need place for patients to sit and fill out the form or use cardboard sheets while standing in line. This is a cardboard sheet I'm talking about. And it's just a simple pencil or pen, and people could stand in line and fill out the forms. We also had, in some pods, tables set up for people to sit down and fill out the forms. Any dark ink or pencil will work. Do not allow screening staff to highlight bubbles. We had some screening staff using a pink or orange highlighter to screen, to mark over the bubbles for the high-risk patients. And when that image is scanned, it appears as a black mark, and I can't see through it. And so I couldn't tell actually what the patient marked, because all I could see was the highlighter mark. You need a scanner with a document feeder. I recommend 1 to 2 people designated to learn and play with the software, the scanning. I recommend a clinician type person to decipher what type of data fields you need and, you know, the variations in them. And a computer techie person. I also recommend a clerical person so that they become comfortable with scanning all the data. Simple forms, the learning curve is about 1 to 2 days. The more complicated the form, the more data fields, it's going to be a longer learning curve. You just need to practice. Designing forms and the many data field options. Play with small surveys, data quality, quality assurance, things like that. Of course, we need a group to decide what type of data to collect and how, and this can always, I'm going to warn you, this is very controversial. CDC guidelines, county-specific needs, i.e. what are you using for your recall plan? Are you going to plan on sending everybody a letter? Are you going to use a mass phone dialer system? Are you going to use the radio with a pod ID number? There's nice data versus required data. How will you use the data, the level of need? What kind of legal guidelines do you have? Do you need the signature of the vaccine administrators? So our experience was we researched different software, and at first I thought this was going to be too expensive. I tried to borrow an old system, a Scantron system. I called lots of different places, lots of schools, private data processing people, and nobody could really do what I needed or had the equipment or anything like that. And then I discovered our community college has expertise in Remark, and that's the vendor that I utilized. They're not the only vendor out there for OMR type software. And they provided a demo, and they even volunteered to scan our data. So when you're looking at a vendor, look at the experience of the company and the time the product has been in use. Remark has over 35,000 users in the US. I believe a lot of hospitals already use them, a lot of schools and things like that. And their software does something a little bit different than I think other OMR softwares do, but I'm not the expert in OM software, so I apologize. But their software performs the same tasks of traditional OMR scanners, but uses a document scanner to image the entire sheet. Data can be downloaded to Access or Excel, which was one of my requirements, to do custom reports. And customer support, I've had very good experience. Affordability, like I said, it was under $1,000 for one license. We got a multi-license agreement. We bought two copies, and it was $500 a piece. Scanner specs, we got a low mid-range scanner, $1,000. That's my low mid-range scanner. It's right next to the computer, so you can see the footprint of it. It's very portable, it's compact. Fonts come with the software. They recommend it be designed in Word or Excel. Same steps as creating text boxes. You have multiple choices for fields. Part of our test project was to try as many different field types as we could. Tested, you know, small groups of 100 people, 50 people. Redesigned little areas, repeated the process. Making an OMR template. This is the form that you have in front of you. So what you do is you either scan in the form that you're going to use, or you download it into the software, and you highlight, like you would a text box, the areas that you want the software to pick up data from. So all you can see is the green areas. That's where it's going to read the data for analysis from. The screen comes up every time you do a box, and it says what's the name of the field, how many rows, how many columns, what type of data are you collecting, what are the values. It's very easy to adjust all this. Our experience was most people completed the complicated form correctly with little to no assistance. One question was often skipped. We had written age as well as coded age, so we redesigned it to try and collect more written age information because it was very valuable. Some people wouldn't put in their coded age, and we couldn't figure out if it's because they didn't want to tell us their age or they just forgot it. Another trial with a simple form, very few questions or omissions. And after I scanned in the data, this is what it looks like. It looks like an Excel spreadsheet. And the system flags a field that has maybe an error in it. The computer is saying there's, you know, you're only supposed to have one response, and it looks like you have two responses. The red flags stand for something, the yellow flags for something else. And so you just scroll over to that box of the flag. It brings up the actual picture of that part of the form in the bottom section that you can see down there. And what the problem here was is when this form was probably scanned in, it was off a little bit. We have a 50 sheet document scanner. And sometimes the last one or two sheets get a little off-skewed. And this one was saying that, are you sure this is the right, what is the right answer here? We're not sure. The mark is a little off of the box that you said for me to look at. And so I look at the box and say, that's the right one. I select it from the drop-down menu. Here's a picture of a drop-down menu, which you really can't see. I'm apologizing. And select the right answer and move on. The reports were fantastic. They were easy. They're very pretty. They collected lots of different information. Values, frequency, percent, cumulative percent, things like that. And then what I did is I scanned each pod in separately, gave them a separate name so I could analyze their data separately, and then I added them all together for another report, which is very easy. And this is my favorite report format, condensed item. And it's the same report format you saw earlier, only, like I said, it's condensed. It doesn't have the pretty color boxes. And this one shows that our four pods did about 1,052 clients. Other report options shows you how much vaccine we use by lot number. These are our lessons. Train a clerical person to scan data from the very first. I was relying on myself to do it, and I don't have that many minutes in the day, it seems, to get to this first things first. Screening questions do not need to be tabulated. Computer images of patient responses are available. Keep responses simple, especially vaccine lot choices. We had some problem with private pay and state having the same lot numbers. And thank you, be prepared. And here's the vendor if you guys are interested in contacting them. And then here's a picture of a mini disaster in front of our health department that happened instantaneously. A car ran over, car accident, hit the telephone pole, knocked out all the electricity in the hospital or clinic. And the major clinic across the street, fire hydrant blew over. And then there was arcing of the electricity and caused a fire down the street, too. So thankfully for backup generators, but you just never know.
Floor is open for questions on this presentation.
Hi, Kevin Davidson from South Carolina. One of the things I didn't see on your form was any sort of identifier as to what form it was. And I was just wondering if you were going to have to change forms from day one to day two, and somehow your forms got
interchanged. My identifier on this form is actually the date on the top. It says the title, and it has the date. That's the file name of the form. That's also the name of the template. So I use the revision date of the form.
Will the software read that, or you just have to manually make sure you keep them straight?
I could make a field for the software to read the date of the form, but are you talking about the date the vaccine was given?
I'm actually just talking about making sure that you didn't have a systematic error occur because you used the wrong form. You had two similar looking forms.
You have to match the forms that are going into the scanner with the right template that you have developed for that form, and I give them the same file name.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Deborah Pearson from Atlanta. This question's for Patsy. If the vaccines weren't donated to you, was there a measure in place to collect money or insurance?
The first clinic, we still had a good supply of vaccine in our own clinic, and so we just sort of did it business as usual. We either took their health insurance card and billed their insurance, or applied it to the VFC supply. So there were a few people who were self-pay, and that we donated that vaccine.
Did that slow the process down any?
Yeah, taking the insurance information was laborious.
Okay, so this question is for the whole panel, really. I think that all your presentations were great, and you really showed that with a lot of intensity and effort and focus, you can do these mass vaccination clinics. But for many of us, we struggle with this issue of trying to either vaccinate or prophylax all the people who live within a certain, our jurisdiction, within a certain amount of time. For if anybody's familiar with the CRI Ready Initiative, you have to do everybody in that jurisdiction within 48 hours. And I have certainly done drive-through vaccination programs. I've done school-based vaccination programs where we can, using FluMist, can get almost 1,000 kids an hour through the schools. But none of those are scalable to the challenge that we face with a bioterrorism or emergency preparedness kind of issue. And I'm wondering if you have thought about how you look at the results of what you've learned and the technology is an important component of that. That's why I give you all the opportunity to answer this question. But how you can take what you've learned and give us advice on how to tackle this larger conundrum, which is, you know, vaccinating everybody in 48 hours.
Do you want to comment? I want to speak to that just briefly, because we're a small county. We don't have a whole lot of staff, but we utilized a lot of volunteers. And we used MA students, RN students in our drills. So the schools, the medical schools and things like that are already familiar with how to do a flu pod, paramedics, things like that. There's a lot of people who can be certified in an emergency to give a vaccine.
I'll come on that. When Patsy said about, you know, you're on your own, that's something that we've kind of weighed out, because in our clinics we utilize nursing students, but we've thought about like developing MOAs with like the Blue Cross Blue Shield, because they have a lot of nurses who don't do daily nursing, but they do a lot of like reviews and things like that that we might be able to resource. But that's been a big challenge. You know, who are you going to pull to rescue you? And who are you, you know, in our design, the region, I think I stated that the regional administrators said that they could run certain number of clinics simultaneously, but in order to do so, they'd have to do staffing. And that's why I said for ours, the limiting factor was staffing. You can continuity of operations, cross-training, the ICS leadership. You need to make sure that whoever you have a agreement with, like whether it's Blue Cross Blue Shield, that those people are cross-trained so that they can have leadership positions in other mass clinics that you can do simultaneously, because you only have certain number of leadership. So for us, we've identified that staffing is just a real problem, and we're trying to look outside to private industry to contract with them.